can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Like me, whoa, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see, oh, I can see you now, I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, up the broken to life.
Since last Lent, we have been through an agonizing and heartbreaking time. I mean, like a glass vessel that's been broken into pieces, our sense of wholeness has been completely shattered, which is why during Lent, this season is going to be a season of recovery for our physical, our communal, our mental, our intellectual, and our environmental health. We're going to look at the healing stories in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to see how Jesus encouraged people, no matter how broken, to open up about their lives as a part of the healing process. We're going to be reminded that each one of us can begin this journey as well, this journey towards wholeness, towards making something beautiful from that which is broken. You know, beach glass, and I have some of it here today, and if you're watching online, you see a photo of it. We're going to use beach glass as a symbol of this transformation process, because beach glass was once something broken that God then made beautiful. So let us now enter the season of recovery as we focus on Jesus, the healer of our every ill.
Will you sing with me?
Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow.
You who know our fears and sadness, us with your peace and gladness.
Spirit of all comfort, fill our hearts. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope.
Join me now in our congregational response. Beach glass begins as bottles, jars, and glass carelessly discarded into the sea. As it is tumbled by the sea, it is broken and polished until it becomes a treasured, colorful gem. We do not embrace that suffering is necessary or God-given, but that suffering is a part of life. When pain comes and brokenness enters our lives, Jesus reaches out to touch and remind us of the treasure that we all are, worthy of new life in the midst of hopelessness. In a year when pandemic has wreaked havoc on our world, we begin by affirming our journey to physical health.
Will you sing verse 2 with us?
In the pain of joy, beholding how your grace is still unfolding,
give us all your vision.
We'll sing verse 4.
You who know each thought and feeling, teach us all your way of healing.
Spirit of compassion, fill each heart. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow.
Me for the opening prayer. Merciful God, we have lived a year of Lent. In the midst of it all, we have seen love shine through at times, but as we look back in this moment, it feels like a year of shattered dreams and shattered peace. We are discouraged, and so we come to you in pieces, fragments, broken shells of our past selves. As we walk along the shores of uncertainty and pain, we ask that you meet us here. I invite you now to close your eyes. Spend a few moments imagining a warm glow of light that is both deep within you and around you. Feel that warmth begin to arise within the core of your body. Know this: God's love and grace surround you no matter what. You are a precious and holy vessel right now. Christ's light is a treasure given freely for you, for me, for all. I invite you to open your eyes and to extend that warmth to those who may be next to you. Imagine extending it beyond your walls to the neighborhood, the wider community, the church, and seeing it spread like the rising sun, let it expand to all the world. Let this be our peace.
My name is Ryan, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to invite anybody that may be a kid or just wants to participate in this part of our service to participate. Those of you that are here in person, I did not provide paper and tape and a crayon for each of you, so you'll just have to use your imagination, okay? Oh, Lynn is ready. She's got an envelope from the... You can follow Lynn's lead, and then I'll just chuck the tape out to you. So we're going to learn a little bit today. But first, before we do anything, I want you to all do one thing. Breathe. Take a breath in. And let it go. Not just inhaling and exhaling, though, but true breathing. We talked in the Psalms about about Selah, taking a breath, taking a pause. When we inhale, we take in oxygen, which our bodies do need, but when we breathe, something else happens. In the Bible, we hear these words from Job: "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." When we breathe, each breath is a spirit breath. That's actually what I was getting at here a second ago. The Hebrew word for breath is ruah. And do you know what it's also the word for? Spirit. The same in Greek, pneuma, is the word for breath, but it's also the word for spirit. So sometimes when we take a breath, we could focus on the idea that we're actually breathing in the Spirit of God. In the beginning, when God creates humanity, he ruah, pneumas, into the dirt and creates life. So when we breathe, we are breathing in the breath of life. So let's take a deep breath together, slowly through our nose, and then let it stay in your lungs for a couple seconds when it's in there. And then slowly let the breath out through the mouth again. Breathing is a good spiritual practice that we can all incorporate into Lent this year. But there's something else I want to talk about today. We are going to talk about healing throughout the season of Lent. And I want to do a little experiment. So if you're watching online and you got a piece of paper, or if you're out there in the crowd and you have a piece of paper or an offering envelope, go ahead and take that, and I want you to think about the hurts that you feel because of this past year. It could be sadness about missing something that was important to you. I know a lot of kids in school had to miss important things. It could be anger at situations that aren't fair for yourself or for others. As you're thinking, I want you to just write these things down. So I'm going to do this with you, and I'm going to say, I missed being in church. I missed being in church for things like Easter and having a great big Christmas Eve service. I grew up in church. I love those big high holidays. I missed that. I missed going to work regularly when my kids were home with me 6 days a week when the pandemic started. going to work sounded great. What else? I missed that my daughter, who was in kindergarten, I was just sad and angry for the fact that she had to finish kindergarten online. It was not the same as being with her friends. So miss being in school. And as you go, hopefully you have some things written down. Do you have some things written down? I've got some things written down. So what we're going to do, and if you're still working, that's okay. But what we're going to do is we're going to wad this up. I want you to wad your piece of paper up into a ball. As you continue to think about those hurts from this past year, I want you to smooth this back out again now. Maybe. I did too good a job wadding my paper up. That kind of looks like this year, doesn't it? And now, I want you to take this piece of paper that you have and tear it in half. And now you have two somewhat wrinkly sheets of paper. And this is how I feel sometimes. Like I've been torn apart, like my life is wrinkly, like this has been a mess of a year. And now we have two of these small sheets of paper. I want you to smooth them back out to the best of your ability. And I want to teach you a little bit about what it's like when we follow Jesus and when we allow God to heal us. I have some tape up here. I'm going to take a little bit of tape, and I'm going to put a little tape on my two pieces of paper. And if you have tape at home and you're doing this at home, great. I'm guessing Lynn Nelson just pulled tape out of her purse or something because she's prepared for anything. So, okay. Does anybody? I can just chuck this. You want some tape, Lynn? Why can't I just throw it? Apparently our insurance does not cover tape injuries in church. Okay, so now look. I have one piece of paper again, right? With all my stuff written on it. It's kind of a mess. It's torn down the middle. It's wrinkly. It's bumpy. And I can see, read barely, the hurts that I had from this year. But here's the thing. If this is what I'm like, am I stuck like this? No. I'm not stuck, wrinkly, and bumpy with a tear down the middle and all my hurts. There's a thing that happens when we turn the page. Look at that, an empty page. Does turning the page mean that this stuff never happened? Does turning the page mean that all of the bumps and the tear isn't still there? No, of course it's still there. It's still part of this page, just like all of the bumps and the hurts that I've had over the past year are still part of me now. But we have the option of turning the page. And then there's something else that you can do on this new page. If you're watching at home, I want you to draw something that brings life to you on this page. What are you hopeful for? What are you excited about? What good things do you see in the world? This is your new page. Just like today is a new page for us. We don't just stay with our hurts and our bumps and our tears. They're still there, but we get to turn a page and do something new with every day that's given to us. It is wonderfully reassuring to know that no matter what we're going through, we can always turn to God for healing. We can always turn a page and turn to God who heals us all, and we can do that through prayer. We can ask God's help and for the help for others that we know they might need, and God, like any truly great healer, listens to us. So I want you to join me in a prayer together right now. And there's some hands that go with this prayer. So do this with your hands as we pray. Ready? Loving God, we come to you with our hearts, with our hands, with our minds, and our souls. In need of your healing touch, heal us from the inside out. Deep breath in. And deep breath out, so that we might reach out to help heal your world. Amen. May each of you turn a page this week and find hope in beautiful things you create. Amen.
Let us now contemplate some contemporary word. From Walter Anderson. Bad things do happen. How I respond to them defines my character and the quality of my life. I can choose to sit in perpetual sadness, immobilized by the gravity of my loss, or I can choose to rise from the pain and treasure the most precious gift I have, life itself. From Richard Paul Evans. Some people spend so much time hunting treasure that they fail to see it all around them. It's like sifting through gold to find the silt. It is by going down into the abyss that we recover the treasures of life. Where you stumble, there lies your treasure. Joseph Campbell. Where there is ruin, there is hope for a treasure. Rumi.
Won't you sing Sacred the Body with me?
Sacred the Body, God has created, temple of spirit that dwells deep inside. Cherish each person, nurture creation, treat flesh as holy.
Now an ancient word from Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 through 4 and verses 16 through 17. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." He stretched out his hand and touched him saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." That evening, they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. The word of God for the people of God. Our thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you please pray with me? God, we ask that you open us up today so that you may bring us healing of mind and body and of soul. We pray this in the name of the one who is the healer of our every ill, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, we know that a significant portion of Jesus' ministry was healing. We have about 41 stories of Jesus healing in the Gospels, whether it was a large group of people that he healed or specific people. So that means about one-fifth of the Gospels deal with Jesus healing people. One of the most interesting things, though, about these healings is that he often focused them on marginalized people, which tells me that Jesus was committed to restoring the whole person and not just a single dimension of healing. So as we begin this series on recovery and healing from this year of the pandemic, I want to start by sharing with you how I understand healing, at least from the biblical perspective. And I'm going to start by sharing a story to explain it. Tony Campola is a sociologist, pastor, and author, and he was at a church in Oregon when someone came up to him, a man who had cancer, and he asked to be healed of his cancer. So Tony, you know, prayed boldly for the man's healing. Well, the very next week, Tony gets a phone call from this man's wife, and she said, you know, my husband had cancer, and you prayed for a healing. Well, initially, he heard, you know, he had cancer in the past tense, so he thought maybe his cancer had been eradicated. But before that thought went much longer, she said, and he died. Well, of course, Tony felt horrible about that. And she says, no, I don't want you to worry about that. Because when my husband went to church that Sunday, he was an angry man. He knew he didn't have very many more days to live, and he was angry at God. He actually hated God because he was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and his grandchildren grow up. And so he was angry that what he considered to be this all-powerful God did not heal him and cure him of his cancer. And she said that the more he got angry with God, the more miserable he was to everybody around him. He just didn't want to hang out with them anymore because he was so angry and miserable. But she said, after you prayed for him, a peace came over him, she said, and a joy came within him. And the last 3 days have been the best days of our lives. She said, we laughed and we sang and we read scripture and we prayed. She says, oh, they were wonderful days. And I just wanted to call and thank you for healing him, just laying hands on him and healing him. And then she said this, though. She said, he wasn't cured, but he was healed. And I think it's really important to make that distinction because I learned early in life that not everybody is cured of their diseases. A childhood friend, Leslie, died when she was 13 years old of leukemia. So to me, these healing stories that we find in the Gospels, Jesus is not necessarily curing people of a disease as much as healing them. He's restoring them to a meaningful life. He's restoring them to a meaningful place in the community. Because the reality is, we all know this already, that not all diseases are cured. And every one of us eventually is going to have to face our own mortality. As I read somewhere, life is a risky business and no one gets out alive. But when there is no cure for a disease, there can be healing for an illness. We can be restored to wholeness. We can be restored to a meaningful life and a meaningful place in the community. And to me, when you heard the story of Jesus healing the man with leprosy, that's exactly what Jesus was doing for this man. I mean, many of you already know that people who had leprosy during the time of Jesus, which meant any kind of skin disease, so if you had warts or boils, they thought that was leprosy as well. That if you had leprosy, you were literally banished from your home and from your community because people were afraid that it was contagious and that you were going to give it to them. So if you had leprosy or any kind of skin disease, you couldn't touch your spouse or your loved one or your child. You weren't allowed to participate in worship. I mean, it really was a miserable and lonely experience, especially if you had it for a really long time. because you were living in social and physical isolation. So Jesus, in this outrageous act of compassion, reaches out and touches this man with leprosy. And he's saying to all those around that were witnessing this, he's saying, this person is not outside of God's love. This person is not supposed to be banished from the community. This person is a part of our family, and they are worthy of touch and worthy of inclusion. I mean, Jesus restored meaning and value to this man's life, and that was the healing that took place that day. Now, I've read the story of Jesus healing the leper, and there's another story where he heals 10 lepers hundreds of times. And I thought, you know, since COVID and our experience of COVID, I began to see this story sort of in a new and different way. Because we know that many people, because of COVID, are isolated and alone, like the man who had leprosy. And we know that loneliness was actually a pandemic before we had the pandemic of COVID. That since the 1980s, the percentage of American adults who say they are lonely has tripled from 20% to 60%. 60% of American adults say that they are lonely. What's worse is that prior to COVID, 72% of young adults say that they had feelings of loneliness most of the time. And what's really troubling about this pandemic of loneliness is that now we have tons of research that tells us loneliness is bad for our health. Loneliness is associated with greater risk of heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, dementia, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, suicidal thoughts. Loneliness is linked to a lower sleep quality, immune system dysfunction, more impulsive behavior, poor judgment. The feeling of loneliness increases our risk of death by 26%. We have a pandemic of loneliness, and those who had leprosy during the time of Jesus understood what it felt like to be lonely. And I thought about, you know, if you read anthropologists, they will say that our ancestors' default setting was being together. And that if you look at hunter-gatherers, we think that they spent one-third of their time working, one-third of their time socializing, and one-third of their time sleeping. I mean, how much time do we now spend socializing every day? I mean, our brains are still hardwired because of our ancestors to seek connection, to focus our thoughts on other people, to define ourselves by other people that are around us. So as we start this Lenten season talking about our physical health, I think we need to talk about how our physical health is linked to our connection with other people. And again, those with leprosy during the time of Jesus understood that, and I think Jesus understood that as well. And this is why, actually, I've been really uplifted by some wonderful stories about how people in our congregation are still trying to stay connected to one another despite the pandemic. I think about Pam Dedamore, who's baked cookies and then taken them around to visit with people. And she says, you know, people want to stay and talk with her after she gives the cookies because people are seeking connection. I think about Lynn Nelson, who calls practically everybody in the church to make sure that they're doing okay during the pandemic. I think about Lynn Johal and Tammy Schaffner, who are helping people with addictions stay connected because they're having a really hard time during this time as well. You know, when the pandemic is over, and it will finally be over, our community is going to need to heal. And that's why for Lent this season, we are on a journey ourselves towards a season of recovery, because we too are going to need to find healing and wholeness and recovery from what we had experienced this past year. You know, I mentioned earlier that sea glass is going to be a symbol of this journey of our transformation. And I actually have some here with me today. And if you are here joined with us, I invite you to take a piece of sea glass home with you. You know, sea glass began as any kind of glass bottle that was thrown into the ocean, you know, beer bottles, soda bottles, tableware. They might have been flung whole or broken into pieces, and they've been flung out into the ocean. And then probably about after 30 to 100 years, they say, those broken bottles have been polished by the ocean to become these beautiful treasured gems. And so think about it. Through time and through adversity, something broken and ordinary and sometimes dangerous shard of glass is transformed into something that is beautiful. I have some here with me again today, and I'm going to show you some photos online of some beautiful sea glass. You know, and as each sea glass is different, recovered wholeness is going to be different for each one of us as well. And so during the 6 weeks of Lent, I invite you to think about your rough edges. Think about those broken places in your life, those broken edges that need to be smoothed out. I want you to think about, what are you going to focus on? What are you going to do to bring healing of mind and body and spirit to your own self? I mean, how are you then going to offer healing to your family, to your neighborhood, to your community, to your church, to the city, to the world? I mean, the beautiful thing and what the story this morning teaches us is that Jesus attended to those considered ordinary, to those broken, and often those who were deemed unworthy. But no matter what, Jesus said yes to each one of them, as Jesus says yes to each one of us, a treasured gem in his eyes. And Jesus wants to take all of our brokenness and transform it into something beautiful.
Make us holy, make us whole. Won't you sing with me? In your love, make us whole.
Make us whole.
May we rest in your compassion. Calm the lost,
weary soul.
In the warmth of your love,
may your peace.
Holy, make us whole.
Let us pray. Healer of our every ill, especially our illness of separation and fear and loneliness, we come before you to make our petitions known. Hear our cries for healing of body, mind, and spirit. We know that already you are at work among us, showing us the way to recovery from the toxicities and grief of our time. As demolished pieces that are treasured when found, we trust that beauty from brokenness is possible when we seek to bind together that which is wounded. We pray especially for those who have experienced the physical loss of family and friends in the pandemic, and those who are still suffering the consequences of the illness. We pray for each person who suffers in body and other ways, whether it's weariness from inactivity or weariness from overactivity. We pray for those whose treatment of illness have been put on hold and those who suffered isolation in their illness, whatever the cause. And we pray grateful thanks for the medical staff everywhere around the world who have shown unbelievable strength and stamina. And we mourn the demise of too many caregivers who risked their lives for our sake. And now we pray that prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
In your love, make us whole. May we rest in your compassion. Calm the lost, weary soul. In the warmth of your love, may your peace. Make us holy.
Just wanted to remind you of our two Lenten series that you can be a part of. Ryan is going to have a men's Bible study Wednesday at 6 o'clock at Brown Street. I'm going to do a series where we're going to look at the theme of the week. So this week we looked at physical health. So you want to join me on Wednesday through Zoom at 6 o'clock. We'll talk more about physical health. Also, if you have a gift to give, we invite you, if you are here in person, to place your gift in the offertory plates that are in the back of the sanctuary. If you're online, you can mail it in and we have the address. So may you now go with confidence as treasures of God, recovering your depth of love for all and your joy of living in this world. Amen.
No more dying there. We are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
No more dying there. We are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King.
Hallelujah,
no more crying there, we are going to see the King.
Hallelujah,
no more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King.